got to have some good conversations as well. So the main time that we can have conversations, at least for me, was during the meal times. And during this trip is interesting because most of the non-believers were adolescent teenage girls who really loved Jonathan. And sorry, this is maybe I shouldn't have said that. Okay. Sorry, Jonathan. We all love you too, though. So it's a platonic. Okay. And there were also a lot of families. There are also a lot of families there who are non-believing families. And I could see, first of all, that those people were there because the church in Barone has already been investing in the lives of the people there. So, for example, the oldest daughter of the Melwigs, Catherine, she goes on play dates with other moms who have little kids. And that's how she got to know some of the families that she then invited to the camp. And two other members of the church in Barone, they teach English classes, and so that's how a lot of teenage girls came, because I guess a lot of teenage girls want to learn English. I don't know. But yeah, so that's how we got a lot of folks who were non-believers to come. So it wasn't us at all, you know. The church there has already been investing very dedicatedly to the church, and that's, I think that is one of the important lessons I learned, that evangelism really is a long-term discipleship investment kind of thing. You know, I don't think I could just live life being like, hey, you stranger, Jesus loves you, bye, you know, and think that that's good, that I'm a great Christian. Not that anything makes me a great Christian, obviously, but yeah, that's one important lesson that stood out to me, how the folks in Barone, the church there, they really care about the people. You can see it in how they invest their lives into these people and how they don't give up, even if they see no fruit. Because I think Christianity, even if someone accepts it, this is what I learned from some of the folks in Barone, it's a very private thing for them. So sometimes someone will become a Christian and you won't know till a year later because they won't tell you. And that is what one of the members there has told me. So that there were people there who became Christian, and a year later they would finally ask, so I noticed you've been coming out a lot. Like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, just things like that. And yeah, having the conversations with non-believers there, for the younger girls that were non-believers, I think some of them were very curious and willing to learn, just because I think they're younger and more open to things. There were also some believers who were younger girls there, and that was also very humbling for me to talk to them, because unlike here, there aren't that many Christian churches or Christian people there, especially other sisters for you to have a community and accountability with. You know, here at LBCLA, it's hard too, because we have to drive farther distances to meet up. It's not like back in LBC San Diego where you can just go to someone's house and it's a 5-minute walk. We would probably have to drive an hour or so here to meet up with another lady. But that's, you know, back in the Czech Republic, they don't even know other Christian sisters. They don't have a solid church to go to. And that was really sad to me. And I felt sad going back because I couldn't, you know, stay there and minister to them. But I can't, you know, I live here. And really, it's the church in Barone that has that burden. So I really respect them for continuing to pour out their lives to them in that way. And as for the families there, the families there also, some of them were pretty open, I think more and more so as we talked to them. I think there's this mentality that, according to Pastor John and some others, that Christians are dumb. In the Czech Republic, that's what some believe. So I think many were surprised that we have college degrees, and especially the older families, you can tell some of them are very smart. Like one talent show presentation was computer science code turned into puns and proverbs, and that was amazing to me. I was like, wow, so impressed. Terrence actually got some of them. He's very smart too, yeah. So they're very smart folks, and we had good conversations with them too, but they're also people, and they suffer a lot in their families, and you know, things happen. So when I was talking to some people, it was really sobering to hear what has gone on in their lives, you know, tragic things, family members passing, and things like that. So I can totally understand why they would be hardened towards God, but just constantly being reminded that, you know, God is good and God is in control, I think was something we tried to pass on to them. So I was really encouraged by our team and how we just all were so unified there. Maybe a quick fun thing I'll share is I think one of the highlights was at the camp when we played the night game. So I didn't get to play the night game 2 years ago because it rained, but this time we did. And what it is you all go en masse into a dark forest at night and you don't get a flashlight, you're not allowed to use your phone, and you're supposed to find three people who have these clues, which are really hard puzzles that you have to solve, which again just goes to show how smart they are. And you have to find them and get the clues, but meanwhile, there's this other fourth person who's like wearing a scary white mask, like Phantom of the Opera style, and if he tags you, then you lose points. So, I mean, I found out pretty quickly that I have like very poor night vision, and I need to have like more carrots in my meals or something, but I just gave up after 20 minutes because I was just roaming around in the dark and I kept like getting lost. And I was like, oh no, I don't want to be stuck in the forest forever. So I just followed the light and like, and then Vashik was the scary guy tagging people. And I saw him coming towards me and I was like, well, I can't see anything, so he can't see anything. So I just went like this and I hit like that. And then he comes to me and is like, I see. So I don't know. I was pretty easy bait, but that's okay. So anyways, that was one highlight that I guess I'll share. And now I'm at 9 minutes, so I think I'll just end. Thank you for letting me share.
Wow, so many people. Oh, it's on. Oh, okay. Pastor John was talking about forgiveness, so please forgive me my English. So as you can know, I'm from Czech Republic, and my name is Vašek Sekret, and I'm a student, I'm 21 years old, and 2 years ago, I got the honor and I could be at first English camp. My first English camp, and this year, 2 years ago, I got really excited about the English camp, so I knew it's my first and it's not last. And if you ask me to describe this English camp by 5 words, it would be like lots of English, singing, testimonies, sport, and tons of fun. And every English camp is unique somehow, like a location, food, and all the stuff. And this time we were in mountains, and the nature in Czech Republic is really, really nice. Like, I think it's really nice. And we were staying in a hotel, and the hotel staff was so friendly, and the food was really good. So after first dinner, I knew that I'm on the right place. And there were a lot of new faces from American team and as well Czech mates, like non-believers. And I wouldn't say that Czech people are really shy persons, like especially me, I'm really shy. But it was always fun when some American guy or girl came to us and was just like, hey, how are you? What's your name? It was really nice. And yeah, what I really like about the English camp, like there is nothing I didn't like, but in the English classes were really good, like Terence, the teacher, yeah, and I think all the Czechs wish that we could have English classes like this, like all the candies and all the stuff. about the American team, it was really nice that they work together. We could see like they are really team. They work as one, and my favorite part were evening sessions, where we could hear her testimonies and the gospels about God, and we could sing songs. And at the end of the week, we weren't shy at all. We feel like we are a family, and like it's really a pleasure to be here with you guys. And even you know the different language and the culture, it's really nice that we got the same God we can praise. And thank you for having me here.
A lot of people. Okay, so my mind's kind of a mess, so I wrote my like completely wrote down everything. So I'm gonna do my best not to just read. But. Okay. okay. Hi everyone. My name is Stephen. And I'll be sharing a little bit about my experience in the Czech Republic as a first-timer. All my life, I've traveled west of here and never really east. The last missions trip I went on was to India, and every trip I took growing up was to some part of Asia as well. So I was very used to the general peoples and cultures and religions of Asia. It was quite a contrast when we traveled to the Czech Republic for missions, as it was my first time to Europe as well. In fact, even compared to life in the United States, to life in California, there's quite a contrast to be observed. Yes, there were small differences, like how the Czech folks were so much taller, and having to literally look up to talk to them, it sometimes made it hard to see eye to eye on things. Or how absolutely beautiful their very green landscapes were compared to the slightly less beautiful brown landscapes of Los Angeles. But the contrast, the differences that were more striking to me were related to the way the Christians in the Czech Republic conducted themselves, the way the church reflected Christ. What stood out to me was how intentional the church members were with Christ's command for us to make disciples of Christ. On several occasions, I'd hear about people going out of their way to reach out to the non-Christian visitors and make them feel welcomed, whether it was moms making play dates with their children or couples going on group outings. Hearing these things really shed a light of encouragement on just how intentional and driven these Czech Christians were. I looked at them and realized just how good we have it in the States. But I use quotation marks around good because it may not actually be good. It was easy for me to become complacent in my Christianity, in my evangelism, because I had the confidence of a multitude of Christian brothers and sisters in the States. There was a general sense that there was a significance in our numbers, and in a way that makes me less reliant upon God, less likely to take all my fears, joys, and everything in between to Christ first. I'm not saying that there's no place for the comfort and fellowship of Christian brothers and sisters, but what I am saying is that it was all too easy for me to put that above the comfort and fellowship of God himself. Since Wikipedia is now academically and socially accepted as a scholarly resource, I want to pull a few numbers from their website in regards to religion in the Czech Republic. These numbers provide a good idea of what it may be like to be a Czech Christian. The irreligious and undeclared in Czech Republic make up 79.4% of the population, whereas Protestants make up 0.9%. Knowing that you're an extreme minority in an area really puts life and your walk with Christ into perspective. Being reminded that life is short compared to eternity and that we must have a general sense of urgency when sharing the gospel was something that I found especially meaningful in the Czech Republic. As a first-timer, I learned that teaching is not an easy thing. Developing lesson plans is not an easy thing. that spending time around people almost all day is not an easy thing. Initially, I attempted to get through on my own strength, but I began getting tired midweek. I grew weary and less gracious with people. And it was at this point that I realized that because my quiet times were so abundant in the States, that I needed to be more intentional about it in the Czech Republic. I had to carve out that time. I had to purposefully decline certain events or hangouts so I could replenish spiritually. The constant and close proximity of people became a very real factor in how I was to spend time with God alone. But at the same time, the other half of this coin was that in finding this alone time, I had to be careful not to completely isolate myself and be selfish with my time. God had allowed me to serve on this missions trip precisely for that purpose, to serve. And I couldn't serve anyone if I didn't interact with anyone, if I didn't invest in anyone, if I didn't intentionally traverse the large space of awkwardness and approach a brother or sister in Christ or a non-believer. I'd say same goes for here. In terms of spending alone time with God and then using the love he has given us to pour out onto others, there is also an awkward large space that we have to traverse to invest into others, to take the leap, to walk the tightrope of tactlessness. Making that effort by God's grace allowed for many meaningful conversations and the opportunity to see unbelievers trek the journey of trusting in Jesus Christ. That was probably the most touching part, being able to witness in real time an unbeliever work through his struggles, work through so much of what this life had given him, to ultimately find that Jesus might actually be who he says he is. That knowing and savoring Christ might actually be exactly what we need, what we are all created for. So, in conclusion, I'm very grateful to God for allowing me to spend time with fellow Christians from a different part of the world. I'm grateful for the lessons he's taught me and continues to teach me. I'm grateful for the fun times as well, especially when they involved 22 grown men throwing color powder on each other and giggling. And I'm grateful for God's mercy when I attempted to perform a magic card trick entirely in Czech. Stevenova Cetina Jehodne Spatna. Steven Czech is really bad. Thank you.